We are back again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you hear that chime going, and we don't have our school bell right now. We're on a field trip is what I'm calling it. That's because I'm not at my regular recording station, and I thought that chime would serve as a substitute for the bell until we can get back to our little old schoolhouse where we usually have these classes. But what we're doing in this Bible school now is studying from Elam's Notes, a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of June the 5th, 1927, and this is about the conversion of Cornelius. So you may want to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 10, and we'll be looking at a text there in just a moment and continuing on with this Sunday school lesson. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lowen, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, let's look at our text. I'm looking at Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 36 through 48. And here's what we read. This is where Peter says, We are witnesses of all things which he did. Now that's all things that Jesus did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom also they slew and hanged him on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but unto witnesses that were chosen before of God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he charged us to preach to the people and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name everyone that believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. Now notice verse 44 of Acts 10. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision that believed were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues, and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Okay, let's look now at Elam's notes. Cornelius had heard of Jesus, his preaching, his miracles, his death and resurrection. He had heard how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. Under the law of Moses, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with the holy anointing oil. Jesus was anointed to be prophet, priest, and king. Christ means anointed. So does Messiah. Jesus was made both Lord and Christ when he ascended to heaven. The Spirit descended upon Jesus after his baptism. Before this, Jesus had performed no miracles. After this, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The apostles were witnesses of his miracles and of his resurrection. They ate and drank with him after his resurrection. In the Great Commission, Jesus commanded the apostles to preach the gospel to every creature, and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name every one that believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. The testimony of the prophet shows that it was God's purpose to to save the world through faith in Christ. Three facts are here stated. 1. Remission of sins is through the name of Jesus. 2. That it is promised to those only who believe on Him. And 3. This promise is to everyone, Jew and Gentile. Through His name means through Him or by His power, and must not be overlooked. Faith must work by love, Galatians 5 and verse 6. And these very persons were soon commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 10:48. And all are baptized into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. Peter said on Pentecost, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins." And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts 19:5. "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ," Galatians 3:26-27. Peter preached on this occasion to the Gentiles just what he had preached to the Jews on Pentecost, that Jesus had risen from the dead, that He was made Lord and Christ, that the miracles of Jesus prove that He is the Son of God, that Jew and Gentile must believe these same facts, that the apostles were witnesses of His resurrection, and they also bear testimony to Jesus as Savior. And on both occasions, the Holy Spirit was manifested to show that the truth preached was from God. Notice, too, that the Gentiles are required to do just what the Jews were required to do on Pentecost, to believe in Jesus as the Christ of God, and that this faith comes by hearing the Word of God, that they must repent, and that they must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. No vision or miraculous manifestation in the case of Cornelius releases him from any obligation to obey God. These all confirm the truth and impress the necessity of obedience. Now, why were these Gentiles, why did they receive the Holy Spirit in this fashion that reminded the apostles of the baptism that they had received on Pentecost? No vision now, should there be such a thing, or dream, or experience of any kind, or anything else, can release one from the necessity of obedience to God. Peter's speech was interrupted by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Cornelius and his friends. This was the Spirit poured out upon the Gentiles by the Lord, as upon the apostles at the beginning, Acts 11:15. And therefore, as it had never been poured out on any except the apostles on Pentecost, there are but these two occurrences of this direct outpouring of the Spirit on men recorded in the New Testament. The Spirit coming in this way is a great miracle, and it was the full measure, greatest gift to the Spirit bestowed on men. All miraculous gifts of the Spirit are not baptisms of the Spirit. These miraculous gifts are measures of the Spirit which were bestowed by the imposition of hands, must be distinguished from that Spirit that is poured out directly from the Lord from heaven. Then, this direct coming of the Spirit in miraculous measure or gifts of the Spirit must be distinguished from the measure that we receive when we obey God. You see, when we obey God, we receive of the Spirit the things that the Spirit promised, namely, salvation. That's not what Cornelius was receiving at this time. This outpouring of the Spirit on Cornelius was not to convert people or bring them to the knowledge of the remission of sins. The apostles were Christian for years before they were baptized of the Spirit, and the Samaritans had received the gospel and had been baptized some time before they received the miraculous gifts of the Spirit through the laying on of hands. So also those in Ephesus. In none of these cases was the miraculous gift of the Spirit connected with the remission of sins. Cornelius and his household received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized in the name of Jesus to convince the Jews present and those at Jerusalem later that God would accept the Gentiles and that they should be allowed to obey the gospel and be received into the church. Therefore, Peter said at once, "Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? Then let it be further said and understood that the baptism of the Holy Spirit or any other miracle could not release Cornelius and cannot release one now should such miracles occur from the necessity of obeying God in baptism. Since God has shown his approval, could any of the Jews object? Those who accompanied Peter were amazed, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. None raised an objection, and Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then, at Jerusalem, he used this fact to show the Jews there that God had accepted the Gentiles upon the same faith he had accepted the Jews. This outpouring of the Spirit was not necessary to prepare one for baptism in water, since the apostles were Christians 3 years before they received the Holy Spirit from heaven, and the Samaritans had believed and had been baptized some time before they received the miraculous measure of the Spirit. Neither did this outpouring of the Holy Spirit set aside the importance of obedience to God in baptism. Those baptized in the Spirit must still be baptized in water." Now that brings us to the end of that Sunday school lesson. But there's two little poems here at the end. One is simply selected, called "Go Win Some Soul." Go win some precious soul today that in the darkness long has trod. Go win some soul to wisdom's way, for every soul is dear to God. Go help some soul to feel and know that Jesus died for sinful men upon the cross in bitter woe. Eternal life was offered then. Perchance some soul is standing by and longs for words that you may say. Oh, bring God's invitation nigh. Go win some precious soul today. And then this one is attributed to Edward E. Hale. "A Good Resolve." I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. Now on the opening page, I see that E.A. Elam has prepared a Sunday school lesson for the Sundays of June the 12th, 1927, about Peter being delivered from prison. The lesson text is Acts 12, 5-17. I'll read as much as that as time allows. It says, "Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison, but prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. And when Herod was about to bring him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the cell. And he smote Peter on the side and awoke him, saying, Rise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And he did so. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed, and he knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out